You're listening to the Sermons Podcast from Riverside Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, in Wichita, Kansas. This is the sermon from Sunday, September 5, 2021, on Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. The lector is Claire Meredith, and the preacher is the Reverend Olivia C.
And sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable: a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not be believed and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but go as they go on their way. They are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. Thus ends the reading of the word.
So many of you know I'm not a music person, but that just reminded me. Our senses, like, you know how people say they walk into a room and can smell something? That song was me and my best friend's song in high school, and I've not heard it in years. And the emotion that came, I was like, oh my. So thank you for that. It is a beautiful song, and oh, I can only imagine. Only imagine. So thank you for that. And oh, yeah, and it's, music's amazing. Our senses are amazing. Being human is amazing. So thank you. So today is a new part of a new month in our sermon series. And so this month we are starting sermons on stewardship and connecting the fruit of the Spirit with that. And so I today am going to be discussing, because as we talked about it this last week with Arthur, I was like, what if we talk about, like, cultivating? Like, can we push off some of the fruit of the Spirit? And I'll start us with, like, how do we cultivate the land? Because I, as you guys will learn through this, and my sisters in the audience, I love soil, okay? Like, it's a weird thing. I know in my last sermon I talked about the weeds and all those things. Like, there's a thing I have passion for. And so as my hope for today is that it is preparing us to learn about the fruit of the Spirit and stewardship as we go throughout the rest of the month. So our section of scripture today in Galatians starts with the fact that we are free. This freedom is only given to us through Jesus' sacrifice. And I think it is important to know the tone in which Paul is telling the people about this freedom. He is passionate about this. Throughout Galatians, it is obvious Paul is speaking to the people because there is adversaries in the group. There's another group of people who are talking to the church that goes against what Paul thinks is to be true for Christianity. It is debated on who these adversaries are, but know that when Paul is writing this letter, he is exclaiming to you that you are free. Jesus did this for us, and we cannot let ourselves forget about this freedom. He goes on to tell us that this freedom allows us to stay away from the flesh, which we need to define clearly right now, because I know, at least for myself, it is natural for us to hear flesh and become dualistic. Believe that the flesh is the body, and it is sinful, and our soul is separate and good. But flesh in our text today is defined as the human existence that opposes God. Flesh is a hostile power towards God. Simply, flesh is living at odds with God. We are strongly told to not use our freedom for self-indulgence. I think it is fair to say that many in our society today believe their freedom allows for them to do whatever is pleasing to them. Too often we see that folks believe that they have to take away other people's freedom to feel like their freedoms are not being taken away. The text goes on to say in the NIV translation that we should use our freedom to serve one another. And in the NRSV, as we heard today, it states that we are to become slaves to one another in our freedom. It's kind of ironic that our freedom calls us to be slaves to one another. Seems like those are two very different things. But Paul goes on to tell us that all of the law is fulfilled in this one command, to love your neighbor as yourself. I think it is important here for us to know that the section of text prior to this one in Galatians was focused on theology. And our text that starts it in our section is Paul's expression of Christian ethics. Freedom is the basis for Christian ethics. Christ died on the cross for all of our sins and to give us freedom into a new life. Thus, Paul is bluntly stating that if freedom is the foundation of Christian ethics, then loving service to one another is the proper exercise of that freedom. I have never understood the next verse more than living in this world the past few years. Paul tells us if we do not love one another as ourselves, we will be destroyed by one another. I think that statement alone is why we need to be listening for a word from God today. Our world is hurting and aching, and I know personally many of us are getting depressed by it. It seems that we are constantly finding more and more ways to destroy one another. So let's keep moving through our scripture and have our ears open to what God is speaking to us today. Paul goes on to tell us that for us to follow this freedom in serving one another, we need to trust and follow the Spirit. He goes deeper into talking about the flesh and why we cannot live our lives in opposition to God. He explains that the Spirit and the flesh are opposing ethics. He gives a list of actions that are of the flesh, and Nestor Oscar Miguez states that these are behaviors that disregard God or dishonor our neighbor. They break down community relationships and destroy our lives and the lives of others. Paul does not list these as prohibitions, but as consequences of living a life without the Spirit. Lastly, we hear that if we live life with the Spirit and are guided by the Spirit, we will possess and produce these beautiful things that all come from love. So I'm going to stop there today because Arthur will be diving deep over the next few weeks talking about all the fruit of the Spirit. But don't you fret, my sermon isn't over. In a way, it has just started. This past week, I was joking with Claire about a sermon title. I'm honestly not a fan of sermon titles because I usually give a title on Monday and then it looms over my head all week. And almost always, my sermon never matches up to it. So I try to stay away from them. But this week I said, well, I think I can confidently state that if the title is I Love Soil and Not Dirt, we'll be okay. And that title did stick, so it is still good for us today. We're going to talk about soil and how we prepare it for sowing a bountiful harvest. And honestly, I don't know how I got so lucky to get to preach about soil. I love the earth. I love soil. I used to say I love dirt, but it's not the dirt that I love. It is soil. And there is a difference. It's kind of like the human body. Would you all agree with me that there is a big difference between a breathing human body and a non-breathing one? Yeah? Soil is like a breathing body, and dirt is like a non-breathing body. That came to my mind this week, and I know it's really graphic and morbid, but it is also the truth. I think it really helps us grasp the difference between dirt and soil. As we move into our reading in Luke, my Bible titles this parable, The Parable of the Sower. And while I was reading this week, I was reminded of the awareness that the titles before parables can really dictate kind of what we believe the parable is speaking and trying to tell us. So I want to state that this parable title could be the parable of the seed, the parable of the soil, or maybe even the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil. I think no matter what part of the parable we look at, we, the humans, the caretakers, the stewards of the earth, have a hand in all aspects of sowing of the seeds. We impact how we sow, we impact how good the soil is, and we have control of how we, the sower, act. In chapter 8 of Luke, it is the first time that Jesus explains what the parable is saying. This is the third parable, however, in Luke, but the first time Jesus explains what the parable means after the disciples ask for clarification. Through this explanation, we learn that parables are metaphors, and in the breakdown of the parables, we learn that each item represents something like an allegory. Jesus tells us that the seed in the parable is the word of God, and the different types of soil are the hearers of the word of God. Through some research, I found that during that time period, it was common for a farmer to throw seed out over the land and then plow up the land, which that means that they could turn it over. So plowing and tilling, I think majority of us who live in Kansas have been around farms or garden, but if you haven't, hopefully we'll help give some visual here. But it is to uproot the dirt, the soil. It's uproot it, flip it over. And so they would throw the seed first, because it was kind of interesting when I first read the parable, right? It's like, well, why would it end up in all these places? Because our practice nowadays is you would potentially till up the land, put the seed down, and then move on. But they would throw the seed, plow it up, well, suddenly the seed would fly everywhere. So some seed ended up on the path and got trampled on. This path to me is like a path that is in a garden. So picture this with me. We have rows, right? So even in our backyard gardens, you have rows. Well, in between there is the path. Because I think the first thing that came to my mind was like a driveway. But it's really the path. So it still said that the seed took root, right? It started to grow, but then it got trampled on and it got picked up really quick, right? And so then second, the seed landed on rock. Well, so rock, I was recently in Colorado. Have you guys ever seen like trees growing purely on rocks? And it's amazing how it happens. But it said, yeah, it grew and it was joyful. But then when any like tribulation came, any issue came, it would blow away because there's no deep roots. And the other thing flung up and it landed on the thorns, which I was considering vines in my head, because I know in my garden, the vines will grow up, and it said it chokes it out, which I was like, that's a perfect example. Thorns, I don't see very many thorns in my garden, but the vines, like ivy, how it grows, it can totally choke out and kill our plants. So then lastly, it said that the seed fell on good soil. And as we all know, I don't think I have to go into that. Good soil is nutrient, and it is full of life, and it has its own ecosystem, and it grows. I'm hesitant to dig as deep as I want to into why dirt needs to be turned into soil, or for us to protect the nutrient soil, but I do think it is important for us as we are learning to cultivate the land in preparation for producing the fruit of the Spirit. Also, in a simple matter, I know it to be good for us to learn about soil because we are called to, in Genesis, to be stewards of this earth that God created. At camp this summer, our curriculum was based on the creation story. So naturally, we talked each day about what God created and then about what we are called to do as the caretakers of this creation. I was pleasantly surprised at how many of the kids at camp that week knew about regenerative agriculture. In the simplest form, it is a no-till process or a no-plowing process. It does not disturb the soil. Rachel Storer of the Land Institute in Salina, Kansas explains, anytime you till the soil, it destroys the natural ecosystem that exists in it. Regenerative is farming in a different way that does not disturb the soil. It can include cover crops or perennial crops or planting multiple crops in one area as those plants complement each other. How many of you have paid attention to what happens to the soil when you pull up weeds? Have any of you had a flower garden that has a lot of dirt in between the flowers and bushes? Have you noticed when you pull the weeds from that soil and you walk by a few days later, the dirt is like cracked and dry? When we pull living organisms out of the soil or plow the land at the end of a crop season, we are destroying the natural ecosystem that exists in the soil. And so I tried this summer with the kids, to have them go and like pull weeds out of by the garden. One's like making it look prettier, but two, it's like I was hoping this would work for us. And so I had them pull it. Well, in a few days we went back. We'll get to that. This congregation has been in existence for 100 years. What happens to soil after 100 years of being farmland? If it is not taken care of, it dries up and blows and washes away. Statistically, 40% of our farmable land has been depleted over the last 160 years. One of the studies I read this week stated that in Iowa, 160 years ago, there was 30 to 60 inches of nutrient topsoil. And today, in the good areas, there's only 16 inches left. So it's like this summer, when I had the kids pull up the weeds, we went back. It wasn't dry. I was like, ooh, my bed. Well, what happened, it was one of those lifted garden beds. So I can almost guarantee you somebody brought in potting soil and filled it in there. So it's still nutrient and great. So it kind of made me think of these farmers, right? For the past 160 years, as they plowed and tilled, it wasn't that they were doing anything on purpose, but every year they'd go back and the soil would still be nutrient and the harvest would be bountiful. And so I feel for them. I get that they were doing this. And so they didn't have to worry about it, right? But these seeds they sown would grow, you know, just as bountiful because of that. And we have learned over the years about erosion and how soil dries up and blows away, and how when it is tilled and there is a huge rainstorm, it will literally wash away. The beautiful thing is we can turn dirt into soil, though. So as we hear these statistics, that we hear about farmland, as we hear about seed falling on dry dirt, and I don't know if you guys ever have done that. Like, so at my sister's house, we were preparing her yard to seed, but it was like rock hard because it hadn't ever had anything on it. Well, if you put the seed down, and in Kansas, we all know wind, it will literally blow away, right? And so we want to be able to turn this dirt into soil. And we can. We can reverse the effects of farming practices that the farming practices have had on the soil. And if it seems I have gone astray from our scripture, I circle back around to express that over the next few weeks, we are learning about harvesting the fruit of the Spirit. And today we need to learn about how to cultivate the soil so that harvest can be bountiful. So if we are being made aware that the soil can be depleted and turn into what I call dirt that has limited nutrients, if any, there is good news. We can help turn dirt into soil. We can reverse the depletion. The process in doing this is called regenerative farming. And for the soil that is still nutrient, we can start practicing sustainable farming. It's one of those things that allows us to move from ignorance to knowledge. And I believe there is beauty in those of us who are willing to continue to listen and learn and grow. I believe ignorance is nothing to be ashamed of because you don't know what you don't know unless you are not listening. Let us continue to listen for a word from God. John Urquhart explains in his article, A New Jubilee of Agriculture, sustainable farming ultimately is a matter of ethics or morality. Sustainability requires that we leave opportunities for those future generations for a quality of life equal to or better than the quality of life of ours today. There are no economic incentives for sustainability. Those of future generations are unable to reward us economically for the resources we chose to leave for them, rather than consume for our own gratification. There are no social incentives for sustainability. We will not be alive during those future generations and may have no descendants in those generations to benefit from the positive social relationships that may arise from our investment today in a civil and just society for the future. Ultimately, our concerns for sustainability arise from our sense of moral and ethical responsibility for stewardship of the earth for the benefit of all the life for all the times. Part of his article is talking about what it would happen if we practiced the year of Jubilee and let our land rest and forgave farmers' debts. He expresses that sustainable farmers must be given periodic opportunities to relearn and rethink their work and their life. Sustainability requires periodic introspection and forgiveness of self and others for past errors in thoughts, words, and actions. I wonder what it would look like for our church, who has been in production for 100 years, to examine what kind of soil the new seeds we are planting this season are falling into. What kind of hearers are we when we hear the word of God? Are we sustainable hearers of God, whose words are ethical and justice-seeking for generations to come? Do we take the time for introspection and forgiveness of self and others for past errors and thoughts, words, and actions? Are we regenerative hearers who know we might have vines and thorns that seem to choke out our growth, or rocks throughout our soil? Or even have we created concrete paths that doesn't allow for God's words to be absorbed? If we look at this church, the people as the soil that helps cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, how good a soil do we think we are today? Are we a dense and rich mineral soil that has layers of inches of beautiful soil? Or have we used and consumed those nutrients and allowed for the topsoil to erode and blow away in the wind and wash off with the water? How many good inches of soil do we have left? Have we maintained and taken care of the soil? Have we planted perennial plants whose roots are deep and are constantly replenishing and giving nutrients to the soil? Do we have enough diversity of the plants throughout the year that gives the bees food to continue to eat so they can continue to pollinate the fruit during the seasons that we are planting? I think it is possible for us to do a soil check simply by seeing how well we are growing and living and thriving as disciples of Jesus. This isn't a competition and there is no grade for it, but I do think we can examine how healthy we are. Going back to our text in Galatians, where it talks about us being free, and with that freedom we serve one another, and we do that by the greatest command to love one another as ourselves. And it goes on to say, we can do this if we follow the Holy Spirit. If we have the fruit of the Spirit growing in bountiful ways, I believe we can conclude we are healthy. Never forget, though, that cultivating and stewardship of this fruit is a continual process. As we prepare for the next few weeks to hear about stewardship and love along with the fruit of the Spirit, I hope we can think about how long it takes for some fruit trees to bear fruit. A citrus tree, 1 to 2 years. A peach tree, 2 to 4 years. Or a pear tree, takes 4 to 6 years to see that fruit. And then I even learned that a mulberry tree can take up to 10 years till you see that fruit. I know we as a church hope for a bountiful harvest of many different ministries, and one of that being youth in this church. Let us remember how many years it takes to harvest fruit from trees. Some ministries will be bountiful quickly. So as I learned this week, grapes, right? It's one of those you can plant every year and they'll come fast. But in others, it can take years. But in all things, we are the caretakers of this creation, and as we do care for it, let us do it in a sustainable way. Stewardship is not just picking the harvest and pruning the trees. It is making sure the soil is nutrient and good, that we, the hearers of God's word, are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with a patient endurance. Amen.
You've been listening to another sermon from Riverside Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, visit us on the web at riversidedisciples.org. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.